And welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. And we're going back into history on this program to talk about the comeback in the War of the Worldviews that occurred in the 1960s, 1970s, and 1980s. Thankfully, the Christian influence in the Western world was not completely done away with by the grace of God. There were a number of apologists that came forward and began to press the antithesis, so to speak, and re-engage the discussion in the War of the Worldviews. And we're so thankful that God raised up a cadre of good thinkers and those that were willing to defend the Christian faith to the very death. And that was rare in an age in which there was so much synthesis. And so we saw a breakdown of the faith throughout the 1800s on into the early 1900s until there were some that took the stand on things like the doctrine of creation or things like the doctrine of apologetics and opposing the synthesis that was going on throughout the 1930s, 1940s, 1950s. I think of Francis Schaeffer, or you think of the apologist Cornelius Van Til, or all the way back to the great reformer out of the Presbyterian Church. And so on and on it went throughout the 1940s, 1950s, 1960s, and then into the 1970s, R.J. Rushdoony, Gordon Clark, and of course, Dr. Greg Bahnsen. So I studied under many of these folks, got a hold of Francis Schaeffer's materials, I'm going to say in 1983, 1984 time frame, and then was benefited greatly by the apologetical work of Dr. Greg Bahnsen. And today we're going to talk a little to this, and there's a new project called the Bahnsen Project that is being launched right now to make these materials available to the present day. Now, I'm going to say that sadly, over the last 10 to 15 years, we've taken something of a hit, at least in the Christian homeschool market and really the evangelical market, in which the influence of these early thinkers who were pressing the antithesis and encouraging a distinctively Christian approach to everything, including education. This has taken something of a hit, and it's rare to find pastors, leaders in the present day willing to stand against the zeitgeist and say, hey, we need to stand against the world, and we need to equip our children to a distinctively biblical worldview. Now, this doesn't happen as much today as it did in the 1980s and 1990s. So we're bringing back something of an equipping. We need to be equipped to have an answer, to give an answer for the hope that is within us, but do it with meekness and fear. And we need to be able to do this and teach our children to do this. And I would love to see a resurgence of interest in apologetics, a resurgence in interest in fighting back the antithesis, the atheistic antithesis that has been so strong over the last 10 years. And of course, the Christian colleges, we said already on this radio program many times, have accepted the antithesis and have capitulated to the LGBT movement and other things as well. So in terms of Christian influence in the area of an intellectual response to the antithesis, I think we need to see a resurgence of this. And this will happen only by the grace of God and the working of the powerful Holy Spirit of God in pastors across this country. Well, friends, today we're going to get back to the material of Dr. Greg Bahnsen, and Graham Dugas is with us on the program, and he is the chairman of this new project called the Bahnsen Project. We'll talk about this, Graham, today on the program. Welcome. It's good to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Graham, what got you involved in the Bahnsen Project? Why don't you give us a little bit of background on how you received some equipping from Dr. Greg Bahnsen's work back in the 1990s.
Well, Kevin, I would say that I would first start off with I bowed the knee to Christ in 1986, had, by the grace of God, a very powerful, almost Damascus Road type of conversion. It was like night and day. I was heading one way and heading the other way the next day. And the Lord mightily saved me. But the environment which I was saved in was just a generic evangelical church. And so they were concerned with, you know, I'm not saying this is a just a not the greatest way to put it, but they were concerned with things like skirt length or whatever. It wasn't that, but you know, they had a lot of outer things, and they really didn't have a lot of cohesion in their thinking. It was just moralism, for lack of better words. And I was searching for answers, and God, by His grace, directed me through various means into the ministry of Greg Bahnsen, others as well. You mentioned Francis Schaeffer. Also, earlier on, you mentioned the creation thing. There was that work of Whitcomb and Morris,
right?
Way back in
that's right.
Those days where that kind of gave a great foundation. And so I was looking for some rationale, for some solid basis for what is it to be, well, first of all, what is it to be a human, very honestly? Creation precedes redemption. And so there, you know, there is a little bit of that as well. But then now we're trying to recover in redemption. We're trying to recover a lot of the original design and also to press it forward. But my testimony to the ministry of Greg Bahnsen and what has fueled this desire to revive his works is that it's like defragmenting a hard drive. He puts everything in the right location and puts all the parts and pieces in right relation to one another, and then you're all the clutter and all the miscellany finds its proper, well, most of the clutter and stuff gets swept away, but the miscellaneous stuff that is of virtue and value finds its proper orientation. So I would say that Greg is a guy that deals with clarity of thought, and he also deals with the paradigms of life in a very clear way. What would you say your experience is to, like, just that sort of a thing where he deals with paradigm?
Well, I was influenced greatly by his apologetics work, his debate with Gordon Stein. You remember that, in which he was, Gordon Stein is one of the most outspoken atheists of the 1980s. And Dr. Bahnsen's debate with Gordon Stein was really quite impressive, in that he pulled the presuppositional argument. There was literally nothing that Dr. Stein could say in response to Dr. Bahnsen's debate techniques, but really the content of what he had to say. You're right, he was very clear in his thinking. It was easy to understand the point. I think that's what was needed more than anything else, coming out of this weakening of the Christian argument. We needed to give an answer for the hope that was within us. And Dr. Bahnsen brought that presuppositional argument harder and stronger than anybody else at the time. And so, you know, thankful for that. And of course, I probably listened to 1,000 of his tapes in the 1990s. And his theology was strong. He had a very cohesive theological presentation, and I thought he was good at equipping. Sadly, I don't think, you know, there are that many today that are able to do what he did.
Oh, yeah. And let me say just offhand, regarding orthodoxy, nothing he said was revolutionary or new. It
right.
was just a clear presentation of the faith once delivered to the saints. And that's what the strength of it is that you know, we can have the Holy Spirit attesting and affirming and vouchsafing our ministries because we're not saying anything aberrant at all. So that, to me, it was just the clarity of presentation that really struck me.
And I think folks need to understand that there are many of his resources still available. Our ministry handles his book, Always Ready, which was a pedestrian presentation on apologetics that we'd recommend for any high school level student, or, you know, anybody who wants a basic instruction on how to defend the faith. And also, he wrote Presuppositional Apologetics. I believe that book is still available. Van Til's Apologetic, that's his 700-page tome in which he defends Cornelius Van Til's presuppositional approach, which probably was the most influential apologetics approach that anybody has produced in the 20th century. And, you know, it would be Van Til's apologetics. It would be Greg Bahnsen's work that influenced Ken Ham and Answers in Genesis and other apologetics ministry. I don't think these apologetics ministry would exist without Cornelius Van Til or without Greg Bahnsen. He also wrote a book called Victory in Jesus, where he spoke to an optimillennial perspective. He wrote a book called Pushing the Antithesis, which was a more of a involved development of apologetics from a presuppositional perspective. And he did a book on homosexuality, a biblical view of homosexuality, which is a prescient presentation of an issue that was going to be the most significant hot button issue of the 21st century. So, you know, here was a guy who God used in a powerful way. His books are still available, and I hope that people avail themselves to them.
Well, in addition to all that, what he taught me was how to do what he calls the internal critique of, you know, your opponent's thought system. And the fact of the matter is that everybody has their presuppositions. Everybody has in their thinking now, he says that we're all philosophers, but we may not be good at philosophy. We are all theologians. We may not be good at theology. We're all apologists, but we may not be good at apologetics. So the long short of it is that when we become more self-conscious in our how we deal with these things, and we learn to listen differently because we're listening for, like, well, where is this person coming from? What are they assuming for? Is, you know, how do they know what they know? What do they think about what they think about, and why? And you delve in and you just really quickly get to the core of it all. And so presuppositional apologetics, very honestly, is just an honest treatment of thought systems and thought structures.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what presuppositionalism does. It goes right to the core and the foundation of your thought structure. And you ultimately become much more self-conscious of your rationale for all things. And yeah, that is the contribution of Greg and Dr. Van Til.
Effectively, you're testing the worldviews of each contestant in the apologetic exchange. In other words, what you do, it's a two-step process. You challenge the fool in his folly. You enter into his house, press him to consistency. Of course, he's always borrowing from our worldview, but you say, no, you can't borrow from our worldview. You've got to be consistent to your own worldview. So you press him to be consistent to his worldview. And then Right. You point out the internal inconsistencies and incoherencies within his worldview. And you point out that his epistemological house simply cannot stand. It's got all kinds of problems. You say, well, I sure wouldn't like to live in that epistemological structure. I couldn't handle living in that level of incoherency and inconsistency and internal contradictions. I just simply couldn't live in your house of knowledge. But then you invite him into your house of knowledge and show him that you have internal consistencies, that there is a coherency to
cohesion.
Cohesion. And you have the preconditions for intelligibility within your system of thinking. And so you're comparing worldviews effectively and pointing out that his worldview is completely useless. So you challenge the fool in his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceits. And then you point out that your system is coherent because it's formed in God's knowledge, in God's revelation, in God's truth.
Correct.
So that's
the old phrase of thinking God's thoughts after him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's the area of apologetics. And of course, Van Til was almost impossible for the average person to understand. But you read Greg Bahnsen's Always Ready, and immediately, I think the average person is going to get a pretty clear understanding of how to defend the faith, and they're going to be able to do it fairly well themselves. The other aspect of Bahnsen's ministry that was really critical for the present age was his dealing in the area of ethics. This was essential, especially at the point at which evangelicalism was going to abandon God's law. And increasingly, people were less and less interested in God's word detailing ethics, and it was an undermining of the gospel. So I look at the present situation, which you're dealing with the Revoice Conference in St. Louis, Missouri, and other problems in evangelicalism, the CCCU, the Council of Christian Colleges and Universities, giving way to the Utah Compromise, in which they were going to persecute Jack Phillips and the bakers and the candlestick makers that won't participate in homosexual weddings. I look at this all as the undermining of the faith, the undermining of the gospel, the denying of the gospel, and that is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and rose again on the third day. So they've denied all of that because they are equivocating on that little word sin, and they refuse to use God's law as communicated in Old and New Testament as definition of right and wrong, just and unjust, good and evil. They do not use God's word to define ethics. They're afraid of God's law, and they're running away from it, and they're setting law against grace, and they're confusing the gospel and ultimately destroying the gospel. So I look at the evangelicals today as destroying the gospel. That's why it was so critical for men like Greg Bahnsen to step forward and say, no, wait. We need to reverence God's word. And he goes back to Matthew 5, 17 through 19 and says, hey, Jesus meant this. If anybody will teach anybody to ignore the least of these commandments, he will be considered the least in the kingdom of heaven. So he took that verse, developed an entire treatise out of it. I believe it was the Theonomy in Christian Ethics, and really challenged us to reverence the commandments of God, to reverence the laws of God. In an age that was antinomian, in an age in which Jesus would say, depart from me, you antinomians, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. That's what Jesus is going to say to, I would say, a very large percentage of evangelicals on Judgment Day, unless they repent of it. But Greg Bahnsen challenged all of us and said, no, we need to reverence God. We need to respect the commandments of God. And then he gave us a fairly careful understanding of how to work the Old and New Testament, the relationship of Old and New Testament, and receive the ethical import or the moral import of the commands of God contained in Old and New Testaments. And he was careful, he was reverent, he was honoring the law of God in a day in which we have these radical antinomian cowboys that are destroying the law of God and the import of God's ethics upon the modern age. In fact, all of the social justice stuff, all of the modern Marxism that's made it into critical racial theory that's destroying the Southern Baptist and the PCA, all of that is due to the fact that these denominations refuse, for the most part, to receive the full relevance and authority of God's law contained in Old and New Testaments. You abandon God's law in Old and New Testament, and you're going to see chaos in the churches. And I think we're seeing that across these denominations now, Graham.
Oh, absolutely. And just offhand, this is nothing more than sola scriptura.
It's
one of the five solas of the Reformation. So, again, it's nothing novel at all. It is the faith once delivered to the saints and recorded in the Word of God. And so thebahnsenproject.com is our website. And what we're trying to do, and we have actually progressed quite a far way down the road, is we are going to bring Greg's works back into the conversation of the day. Previously, they were locked up behind a paywall at Covenant Media Foundation, who, by the grace of God, we've got to be grateful and thankful because they did stewards and preserve the collection. They digitized it from old cassettes, and we're trying to revive some of it as far as sound quality. So we can present these materials free of charge, one click away. We'll have it up on Sermon Audio. We'll have it mirrored on another site just for redundancy in case, God forbid, some hate crime legislation comes down the way. And we are looking to take all of Greg's lectures that were available at Covenant Media Foundation. So there's so much to think of. If you look at the stuff that is there, you have stuff on certainly apologetics, the subcategory there, and epistemology of how do you know what you know, philosophy. He's got three or four different level courses on that. We have such forward vision for all of his great, great deposit that is so relevant to not just our age, but really to any age, because he addresses things like I said, analytically. Oh, in accord with that, I would say a perfect example, you talked about the dalliance that the modern church is having with capitulation, let's just say, with sodomy, homosexuality, and LGBT and all their agenda. In Greg's book, he just talked about very simply, look, if you take this thing as an orientation and not as a preference, then you're selling the farm right then and there. Everything that happens afterwards is just going to be the enemy coming in and sweeping it up the victory that he gained when you surrendered on the premise.
Mm-hmm.
And so the premise is that we've got to maintain sin, redemption, the law of God is the criteria for all things ethical, and apologetics is not just like the defense of the gospel, but it's the defense and confirmation of the gospel. We need to assert things positively.
Well, I think I'd like to boil it down to this. What we need is a robust biblical epistemology and a robust biblical view of ethics. When the Christian church undermines God's authority that is speaking in his word, when they want to test God's truth by human reason and undermine a biblical apologetics and then undermine God's speaking in ethics, they will undermine God's holiness, God's omniscience, God's salvation. They ultimately undermine Christ and his redemption on the cross. And so everything else just sort of disintegrates when you attack the foundations of truth and ethics, the authority of God's word speaking to us in the 21st century. And that's the kind of thing that's
right.
Happened.
Yeah. And just offhand, that then why apologetics is particularly important, or in particular presuppositional apologetics, Greg has this, he borrows a phrase from C.S. Lewis where he talks about God in the dock. And that means the creature is putting God on trial. Well, God, if you produced enough evidence, then I would believe in you. And God, if you did this, that, and the other thing, you know, then I would obey you or whatever. And then we're bringing God before the bar of man, and that is 100% inverted. Mm-hmm. And so presuppositionalism really, it says, sanctify the Lord God in your Lord Christ in your heart as Lord first. Then you go forward and apply your apologetic methodology.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is what Greg makes very clear. There's that. Bowing before our Creator, bowing before our God,
right.
Reverencing mm-hmm. His revelation, and not putting God on trial before the fallen intellect of the creature.
I would recommend Greg Bonson's book, Always Ready. If Greg was still alive, I would interview him on this radio program, but he's not. So it's the runner-ups today. It's me and Graham. It's the runner-ups today on apologetics and these very vital areas on the epistemological and ethical authority of God speaking in his word, and very well defended by Dr. Greg Bonson and his work. So Always Ready is a book that we have offered as part of the Generations offerings for many, many years. So I'd recommend that, available on our website. And the website for the Bonson Project is bonsonproject.com. Let me spell that out for you. Bonson is spelled Bahnsen, project.com. That's bonsonproject.com. That's Bahnsen project.com, bonsonproject.com. Graham, any last words?
Well, I think that covers it. You gave a nice plug for our thing there. And the goal of this project is to bring these works back into the conversation of the day, have single-click sharing for social media, and quite frankly, you can have a seminary-level education in far beyond your ordinary seminary, we should say, free of charge. It'll all be there, and this is part of just the vast deposit that Greg left behind in his life's work.
For more information, again, friends, it's bonsonproject.com. Graham Dugas has been our interviewee today on this edition of the program. We appreciate it, Graham. I hope that this thing comes together in just the next few months.
It was wonderful being with you and to hear your personal testimony of the impact of Greg's ministry as well.
And you have been listening to the Generations Radio Broadcast. If you'd like to interact with the radio program, email me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.